Of the more than 5,000 Palestinians in Israeli jails, 207 are children and 192 are administrative detainees facing potentially indefinite detention. Human rights groups have been condemning Israel for violations of international law and Palestinian rights. But will Israel be held to account? I'm Homa Lesgi and you're watching The Debate.
A Palestinian Authority official has warned about the dire health conditions of hunger-striking Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails without trial or charge. Nearly 120 prisoners have been on open-ended hunger strike for about a month to protest against Israel's arbitrary detention policy. The controversial policy allows Tel Aviv to incarcerate Palestinians indefinitely. Some of the hunger strikers are facing death and have been hospitalized. The prisoners, however, insist that they will continue the strike until the demands are met. Here are some facts and figures recently released by Palestinian Ministry of Detainees and an independent non-profit organization.
Number of Palestinians held in Israeli jails stands at about 5,100. Among the detainees are 207 children, 192 administrative detainees, 18 women and 11 MPs. 477 prisoners have received one or multiple life sentences. 439 prisoners have received a sentence of over 20 years. Palestinians are tried in Israeli military courts that rarely comply with international standards.
But Tel Aviv's violation of the rights of Palestinians is not restricted to the prisoners and has many other dimensions. Ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, expanding illegal settlements, enacting discriminatory laws, denying the right of return to Palestinian refugees, restricting Palestinians' rights of movement by creating checkpoints and constructing a separation wall are only a number of examples in a long list of rights violations committed by Tel Aviv. The situation in the impoverished Gaza Strip is even worse. Residents of the besieged coastal strip have been grappling with a suffocating siege for the past 7 years, which prevents the entry of almost all their basic needs, including food and medicine. Adding salt to injury, Israeli forces regularly carry out deadly air raids against Gazans. They have even conducted several all-out military offensives against Gaza. The latest such invasion in November 2012 killed more than 130 Palestinians and injured many more. Many independent rights activists and analysts maintain that such policies have turned Israel into an apartheid regime. Under pressure from public opinion, even some U.S. officials, including Secretary of State John Kerry, have warned about apartheid policies of Israel. But some observers describe the U.S. criticism as cosmetic and blame the situation on unconditional support of Washington for Israel.
The Israelis don't care about it because they have, especially the United States in the United Nations, to defend them and to issue their and to use their veto on behalf of Israel. There are no consequences for Israel.
Israel is the largest recipient of U.S. aid since World War II. According to a recent report by Congressional Research Service, Tel Aviv have received $121 billion in bilateral assistance as of March 2014. Almost all of the aid is in the form of military funding. The U.S. not only turns a blind eye to the plight of Palestinians, but also throws its full weight behind Israel, who a recent U.N. report has accused it of collective punishment of Palestinians and violating their rights on a massive scale.
Well, you're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from New York is author and lecturer, Mr. Norman Gary Finkelstein, and with us live from Washington, Congressional Policy Advisor, Mr. Frederick A. Peterson. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. I'll put my first question to Mr. Peterson in Washington. There's always a condemnation, Mr. Peterson, of Israeli violations, for instance, like holding prisoners without charge or trial, arbitrary or administrative detention, raiding homes, taking Palestinians, even children, away. But what is leading Israel to continue these kinds of violations?
Well, I don't think People are being incarcerated for overdue parking violations. There is a vital threat that anyone of objective view, neither Palestinian nor Israeli positions, but an objective position, would look at this and say that there is an objective threat to the survival of the Israeli people and state. And when you have that, when you have people, ordinary common people that are being used, their liberty, their lives, in fact, are being employed as a political weapon, individuals, humanity being weaponized as agents of policy, you are going to have a reaction to that, because that agent, that policy is striking at the vitals of its opponent. Israel has an existential threat to its very existence. We see how vital this is, in that we cannot even get a public acknowledgement of both sides, that both sides have a right, a recognition, and a right to exist. Now, when we start from that premise, we take no steps in either direction, forward, back, or otherwise, because we're not starting at all. We need a recognition of both parties by both parties, and a good faith, in quotes, capitalized, underlined, effort to move forward. We have not had that. In fact, we probably have not had that on either side. But one side is being faced with existential threat to its very existence, that being Israel, surrounded and vastly outnumbered, and in dire threat of being overrun.
Mr. Peterson, can I just stop you there, if I may? Yeah, well, you refer to people
Certainly.
Who've been put in jail as, well, they have committed crimes, that's why they're put in jails, or they pose a security threat. But at the beginning of that report, we referred to numbers that we're getting of at least 200 children, even more, some of them kids as young as 7 or 8 years old, being held by Israel. What we're referring to, of course, here are the violations of human rights, the violations of international law. But before you continue with that, let's bring in our guest in New York, Mr. Finkelstein, on this as well. Now, Mr. Finkelstein, what is leading, in your view, to these violations, if indeed you see them as violations? And do you think that especially Israel's closest ally, the U.S., should be blamed for remaining silent?
Well, there are two separate issues here. There is a human rights issue, and then separately there is the political question. And your guest or the other speaker has conflated the two, and I'm going to try to separate them out for the purposes of this discussion. On the human rights issue, Israel's record on military courts, on administrative detention, on abuse of prisoners has been repeatedly condemned by mainstream respected human rights organizations.